Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
And this ball game is over. Hold my beer, Milwaukee. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. 133-122.
Oh, my.
Time to dance here in Wisconsin.
Disco Chuck Swirsky's dancing while Milwaukee holds his beer. Heard that right here on The Score. We're the home for your Bulls broadcast, as we will today. You know what? We have big Bulls broadcast news and stuff today. Listen! Tune in today from 4 o'clock to 6:45 for a special edition of Bernstein, Harris, and Rahimi live from the United Center for the Bulls home opener against the Thunder. Arturis Karnishevas of the Bulls is scheduled to join the show at 5:30. They'll be joined by other special guests as well. Get you set for the game tonight. All of that can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. And that's what we're doing now. We are going to talk Bulls basketball on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Joining me now is Mark Schanowski, who will take up most of the interview as I just read where you can hear him, find him, see him, get him. Sports anchor for ABC7, play-by-play for the Windy City Bulls. He's calling tonight's Bulls Thunder game for CHSN. How do you have time for me, Mark?
Steve, I always have time for you. I always enjoy our conversation.
All right, so we saw the opener in New Orleans said, oh my God, why did they start the season? What did they do in training camp? And then last night, that's the way it's supposed to look, right? Wasn't that, was beautiful. What did you think of what you saw last night?
Yeah, they played almost a flawless game last night. They really cut back on the turnovers. They shot an incredible percentage from three-point range. And that's what Billy Donovan's been talking about since the start of training camp. He wants to play faster. He wants to get up more three-point shots. It's only two games. Right now, the Bulls are playing at the fastest pace of any team in the league, and that's a big departure from what we've seen the last few years. Obviously, with the personnel they had, with DeMar DeRozan, more of an ISO half-court player, he slowed them down a little bit. No one would ever dispute he was a valuable player to the team, but they can play at a faster pace now because they're not waiting for DeMar to try to post up and take five or six dribbles and take a mid-range jumper.
So it's a high-wire act. What DeMar DeRozan did was he settled down the high-wire act. He gave them a higher floor but a lower ceiling, and now it's chaos. And you saw it this week, and you saw it and go, like, what game were they playing on Wednesday? And then there's Kobe White going for 35. You go, and look, they're taking more threes than the opponent, and they're hitting more. And that, I think that's the way it's going to be all year. Do you think so, or is there still more to be rounded out with this team?
No, I think there's going to be wild fluctuations from night to night just because when you want to play fast, you're going to be prone to turnovers. In that game against the Pelicans, they had 21 turnovers that led to 30 points for New Orleans, and that was the difference in the game. Mm-hmm. In the game against Milwaukee last night, they cut back the turnovers by a huge margin, and they shot the three ball really well. So when you're dependent on getting easy baskets in transition and playing fast, you're going to be susceptible to some turnovers. So some nights they're going to look great. Other nights they're going to struggle. They play Oklahoma City tonight, which is one of the best teams in the league, has three excellent perimeter defenders. I don't think they're going to let the Bulls get out on the run as easily as Milwaukee did last night.
My guest is Mark Schanowski, ABC anchor, Channel 7. He'll be calling tonight's Bulls-Thunder game for CHSN. Bulls-Thunder, the Bulls open the home season against the aforementioned Thunder, and Alex Caruso's here. If you're Billy Donovan, do you tell Zach LaVine you're not allowed to dribble? That's it. Alex Caruso will be all over it. I mean, this is a guy who knows everything about every other team, but this is the one he played with, and he's just the kind of guy that would seize on every little thing, this Alex Caruso guy that we marveled over for several years.
Well, when you look at Alex Caruso's contributions in the box score, you don't always see it by points or field goal attempts, but what he does on the defensive end is invaluable. You know, he's an all-defensive team selection the last two seasons. And in the game they played, their opener on Thursday in Denver, he only took two shots, missed them both, but he had four steals, and he was a plus 19. So he had the highest plus minus of any player on the team, despite the fact he didn't score a single point. And, as you mentioned, Bulls guards be warned, because he's great at playing the passing lanes, and if you get loose with your dribble, he's just going to barge in there, steal it, and take it the other way. He's going to be a guy that they have to watch out for, but he's not the only one. Lou Dort is a great perimeter defender. Jalen Williams, their small forward, is also an excellent defensive player. It's going to be much tougher for them to get out on the run. As I mentioned, Milwaukee is a slower team. They're an older team, and I think they were kind of caught by surprise with what they saw from the Bulls last night.
Mark Schanowski is my guest, ABC Channel 7 sports anchor, and he'll be calling tonight's Bulls-Thunder game on CHSN. We're talking Bulls here on The Score. We are your home for Bulls radio. Chuck, maybe he'll be dancing tonight, maybe he won't. Two of the things that really jumped out, and obviously Coby White, 35, he's doing it with Josh Giddey there, and Josh Giddey is not turning the ball over every time somebody throws it to him. So all of it looked much better, but it was supposed to with starters. The bench, though, there's all of a sudden what involves Patrick Williams was very impressive in the second half. He finally gave his second half. Maybe he's gonna represent the inconsistencies of the Bulls this year, because he's been an enigma, but yet he made some big plays. And when the second lineup was out there, it was Williams and Coby and Dosunmu and Dalen Terry and Jalen Smith, they were plus six in the first 4 minutes of the fourth, and huge minutes that gave the Bulls a chance, and they were able to expand on that. That was the Patrick Williams thing. I don't know. Do you think we're going to be infuriated again as much as we're exhilarated?
Well, I think people just have to lower their expectations. When you take a guy number four overall in the draft, your expectations are that he's going to be a borderline all-star type of player, a guy that can score 18 to 20 points a game, maybe get you 8 to 10 rebounds. But I just don't think that that's the kind of player he is. He's more of a supporting player, a guy who's willing to play in the background, kind of pick his spots on when to attack. But I think that, I don't know if the coaches talked to him, his teammates or whatever at halftime, but he came out with a lot more aggression in the second half. And I think he was probably mad at himself because, at the start of the season, after getting that big contract, he had three bad halves. And I think he, if you're a player who takes pride in your performance, like almost any professional athlete will, I'm sure he kind of, talked to himself a little bit at halftime, said, hey, I got to come out and play better. And he was much more aggressive. He went to the basket, which is really important to see. And he wound up scoring 13 points, including a couple of big baskets when Milwaukee was trying to rally in the second half.
I think you were about the only one who didn't get to be part of Billy's rotation early on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't know that he knows what he has when it's in action. And I think the first game, the opener in New Orleans showed you that. And then I think he's actually coaching the game in front of him, the team in front of him. At least he did in Milwaukee, and it always looks better when you're hitting threes and they're taking more threes. What do you think? How do you think he's going to handle this roster and his rotation this year?
Well, I think he's going to have to play 10 players only because there's a lot of young guys that they're trying to develop. And you mentioned Jalen Smith earlier. He's played well in both games, and he played well for the Pacers last year. Good addition. He can make a three-point shot, and I think he's going to be a really nice complement to what Vucevic brings them as the starting center. But in terms of the rotation, you want to find minutes for Matis Bouzelis. He hasn't played much in the first two games, but that's understandable. He's still learning his way in the NBA. They've got a glut of guards. Some nights Lonzo Ball's going to play, some he's not. He didn't play in Milwaukee. He's expected to play tonight against the Thunder. And when you look way down the bench, you got two veterans sitting there, Torrey Craig and Javon Carter. You remember, those were the celebrated free agent signings two summers ago, and now they're completely out of the rotation. Those guys, both are, accomplished NBA veterans who've played for good teams. They've got to be kind of stewing over there at the end of the bench because they're not getting any run at all right now.
And that's the way it should be. I don't want them to stew. They certainly give effort and they contribute what they can. But if you're the Bulls and the way you're looking at this, and you've shed DeRozan, you're trying to trade LaVine. If you get an offer and they still inexplicably love Vooch, and I understand he has his uses, but if you surround them with the faster, younger kids. You want to see that. That's the right play. That's the, and it's also a good way to tank without saying you're tanking, without making it obvious. You're just playing young kids.
And, you know, even when they go 10 players in the rotation, on the nights that Lonzo Ball plays, Dalen Terry's out. And, you know, here's a guy that was a first-round draft pick a couple of years ago, a guy that you'd like to develop, but they don't have minutes for everybody. It's either going to be Dalen Terry getting spot minutes or Julian Phillips getting spot minutes. And right now I think they feel Phillips is more of a legitimate forward who could maybe give you some minutes at the power forward spot. And he's also improved his three-point shot to the point where I think that they feel like he can work well with that second unit. It's going to be a kind of a puzzle for Billy to try to connect every game, especially with Lonzo in and out. But I think he's done a good job of managing it so far. And Ayo Dosunmu has been fantastic off the bench. You know, you mentioned him in terms of being with that second unit, being a leader. He had an Alex Caruso-type line yesterday. He was 1-for-8 from the field, but I think he was something like a plus 18. So he did a good job defensively on Damian Lillard and the other Milwaukee perimeter players. And he's going to be an important piece throughout the year. He improved so much last season, and I think that his ability to lead that second unit is going to be very valuable for the Bulls this year.
Mark Schanowski is my guest, ABC anchor on Channel 7, and he'll be calling tonight's Bulls-Thunder game for CHSN. We're talking Bulls-Thunder here on The Score. I don't know, their games are similar, but having seen Matis Bouzelis, there's a lot of Nocioni-ness to it. A lot of, in my world, from my memory, a lot of energy, a lot of fearlessness, a lot of, I could see him becoming the biggest fan favorite in the United Center.
He loves to dunk on people. He loves to talk trash. You know, he just turned 20 last week.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
But he's, you know, supremely confident. He's not afraid to go at anybody. You know, he'll go at Giannis. He'll go at some of the best players in the league and not worry about it. He's going to get some of his shots knocked right back in his face, but it's not going to deter him. He'll just keep going back. And I think, you know, after a year or two in the NBA weight room and just with getting physically more mature with age, I think he's going to be a force because he can really jump. And at 6'10", I think he's going to be the one guy who can be a rim protector inside. They don't really have a lot of that. Vooch certainly doesn't give you that. And Jalen Smith isn't a shot blocker either. So I think as the games go on and getting into year two and year three, you're going to see him be a real impact player. I think that they got a steal with Bouzelis at number 11.
They all look good. Before I let you go, Mark, they all look good last night. And your shots fall. And that's great. I mean, you wanted to see that. That was play fast, play well, and there you go. Your impressions of Josh Giddey two games in. I know it's just two games, that's why I said it, but I want your impressions of Josh Giddey since he's the guy with the ball and he's going to determine everybody else's opportunities.
Yeah, I think we've seen pretty much what you can expect from Josh Giddey. You know, he has good positional size at 6'8". We've seen him do some work on the defensive boards, getting rebounds, and then, you know, initiating the fast break, which is really the thing that intrigued them about trying to acquire Giddey. They didn't know if they were going to have Lonzo Ball this year, and even having him back, he's not going to play every game, and he's going to play extremely limited minutes. So I think what they were looking for is a Lonzo Ball-type player, a big guard who can get the ball off the defensive glass and initiate the fast break. He's done that in the first couple of games. Too many turnovers the first night in New Orleans, but last night he made a couple of three-point shots. You know, they're leaving him wide open, and if he can punish teams occasionally by knocking those down, that's only going to help the offensive flow a little bit better. You know, he's only 22 years old. He's a young guy that played really well his first 2 years in Oklahoma City before taking a bit of a step back last season. I'm still optimistic that he can be a real productive player. The hitch for the Bulls is he's going to want a huge contract after this season. When you look at their salary structure, unless they're able to find a Zach LaVine trade that they like, I think it's going to be difficult to fit him in at $30 million a year.
Yeah. I want a big contract too, Mark.
Yeah, it's amazing the NBA salaries right now. You know, they're saying, well, Patrick Williams got, you know, 5 for 90. That's not so bad in today's NBA. And the reality of it, it isn't for a starting player. But when you look at the number, you know, $90 million, your jaw kind of drops. And Giddey, when he comparison shops around the league, which he sure his agent is doing, he's pointing to a guy like Emmanuel Quickley, who's playing for the Toronto Raptors. He got an extension for 5 years, $175 million. And he's not exactly an all-NBA player. So those are the kind of numbers that his agent's comparing to. And it makes it difficult to come up with a contract that both parties can live with.
I'm going to go to Mitch Rosen. Said, I've only had one worse half than Patrick Williams. Give me a piece of this. All right, Mark, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
All right,
always
Steve,
good talking.
I just want to tell the folks, too, that the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast with Stacey is still alive and strong, and we've got an announcement coming up on the future of the show, so stay tuned for that.
All right, there you go. Look at that. There's the tease, as we call it in the business. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Mark Schanowski, ABC Channel 7 news anchor, sports anchor, and I'll be calling tonight's Bulls Thunder on CHSN, talking Bulls. You can hear Chuck and Bill call a Bulls action. But before that, 4 o'clock, Bernstein, Harris, and Rahimi live from the United Center. That check that out on these airwaves. Take a break. When we come back, we will see what the Washington Commanders' view of this game. We've heard a lot about the Bears. They got to win. Big game. This is it. They're playing a team over 500. But we don't know if Jaden Daniels is going to play. We're going to go to Washington and see if we can get any more information on it. We'll talk to someone from our affiliate, our Odyssey affiliate in Washington, D.C. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday, Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
They're down in 7. This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in. Welcome back. Bears, Commanders tomorrow in D.C. in the Fox afternoon window. Supposed to be Caleb Williams against Jaden Daniels. Dan Quinn's trying to act like it still might be Jaden Daniels. Nobody's buying it. Let's find out if we can find out anything more. We're going to go to the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois and talk with Chris Russell. We talked to him a couple weeks ago. He's the afternoon host on Team 980 in D.C. Chris, thanks for joining me. Thanks for coming back. Appreciate it.
Steve, good to be back with you. How are you?
I'm so groovy, it hurts. I need a doctor. I need a doctor to treat it. But Jaden Daniels, do you have an update? I saw what Ian Rappaport reported that it's the same stuff we heard all week. Anything more reporting on your end?
Not anything like definitive. I would say this. I'm inching closer to him being available to play and maybe them starting him and taking that chance because, you know, everything I know, you know, the cartilage, I mean, obviously, if it is the cartilage, which I have been speculating all week, it's an injury that you're going to have to maintain and take care of throughout the year. It's not like something that goes away, you know, and Dan Quinn, earlier this week called him week to week, right? And he went through the paces yesterday. Now they put him in the practice bubble so that the media couldn't see him throw and couldn't get video of it. But they said, you know, he was limited officially, but they did a bunch of different things, including twists and torques. And, you know, throws on the run and all that stuff. Now, of course, he said he looked great or he did good. And they pushed him really hard, but we don't know how it actually looked, and we don't know how they'll evaluate that on tape. And I'm sure that evaluation has already been made, along with this morning's walkthrough and how he reported, you know, to the facility. So here's my best guess. I think he ultimately, and again, I want to be clear, I don't know this. This is just my opinion, guess, whatever, educated sense of belief, is maybe he starts the game, and of course, they are really, really, really careful with him. Take away some of the design read option runs, you know, try and make sure that he doesn't aggravate it in any way and have a very quick hook if they see, you know, any kind of wincing missing, any kind of, you know, mechanics all over the place, and certainly any sort of pain. And I'm sure they'll, you know, if they play him, I'm sure they'll you know, Novocaine him, not Novocaine, but, you know, painkiller him up so that he doesn't feel a lot of this stuff, because that's what I understand to be the treatment and the prognosis for a way to get around it if it is indeed the rib cartilage injury, and they have not been clear on that all week.
My guest is Chris Russell, afternoon host on the midday host of the Team 980, Odyssey affiliate in Washington, D.C. I had suggested earlier, he's a guy that under normal circumstances, you want to keep in the pocket. Matt Bowen, one of our football experts on during the week, said, yeah, that's what you go. If you're a defensive coordinator, you pick one, you make him stay in the pocket. Mm-hmm. And I said, and these circumstances, I want to flush him out, even if I got a blitz. I want him out of the pocket. I want to see what kind of courage he has, and I want another shot at those ribs to make sure that he can't play.
You know, it's an interesting, I guess, philosophical debate, because I understand where Matt is coming in. Obviously, Matt played the game, and he's very smart and all that stuff. And, yeah, normally you would want a mobile quarterback to be hemmed in, right? But the difference is Jaden's pretty damn good at dissecting and carving up people from the pocket. That, you know, I think the play you guys, you know, played on the way back in with McLaurin, you know, he took a massive shot in the pocket on that. That was not him on the run. But clearly one of his strengths, to your point, Steve, is, hey man, he can roll out, and he can, and I think I told you this the last time when I was on with you, you know, he can roll out, he keeps his eyes up, he keeps his mechanics in gear, he can flip his hips, he can torque, and I think that's what Dan Quinn needed to see. Now, whether he saw enough of it yesterday and this morning during walkthrough and there was no setback, that I can't answer, but that is the thing that they were looking for, the torque, the rotation of the hips and the abdomen and all that medical stuff that, you know, you and I are probably not experts in, right? But to your point, right, like one of Jaden's greatest strengths is rolling to his right and keeping his eyes up and, again, flipping his hips and torquing his body and throwing an accurate strike, a dagger, on the run or while drifting to his right. If they sense that he can't do that based on what they saw yesterday, which, again, media was not allowed to see, or based on what they see this morning, what they saw this morning in a walkthrough, which, again, media is not allowed to see, or even early on in the game tomorrow, if they indeed decide to start him and play him, then that's going to be the thing that they go, gone. Because Marcus Mariota has now received enough first-team reps and enough game reps. He not only played much of the game last week against Carolina, and granted, Carolina's a much different defense, as we all know, than Chicago, but he also played the final, for whatever it's worth, 12 minutes against Cleveland a couple of weeks ago to make up for some of the time he lost with his injuries midway through training camp. So I think they feel pretty good about Marcus Mariota, but I think they obviously like Jaden Daniels out there if they can.
This game is taken on greater importance in Chicago because it's a team above 500. It's a road game. Yep. Bears have won 3 in a row, but against the dregs of the earth, and now they're playing a 5-2 team. How is this game being viewed in Washington? Through what prism? How much importance is this game to the Commanders?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, have, because of the Jaden injury, have tried to dismiss it as, oh, it's only week 8. Not a big deal. Why rush him? Why bring him back? Why, you know, why sacrifice the rest of the season? I look at it as opposite, man. I mean, sure, 5-2, 4-2, what have you. I mean, a win obviously gets the Bears to 5-2, and it drops the Commanders to 5-3 and all of that stuff. But, you know, this is a game that certainly, it's not a division game for either team, but it's a conference game. And we all know conference tiebreakers play a big deal down the stretch, not only head-to-head, but just in general conference tiebreakers. So to me, I think it's a big, I think it's a hugely important game. Is it, again, the same as playing the Dallas Cowboys or the Eagles for the Commanders? No, it's not, but it's pretty damn close. And you'd like to, you know, one of the criticisms, Steve, you know, around here, and I know the Bears have kind of faced it a little bit too, is who have you beaten? Well, if you beat the Bears, nobody can say you haven't beaten anybody, because in fairness, they've beaten some cupcakes and they've lost to the premium teams that they've gone against. Well, that narrative changes, whatever that's worth, in week 8 tomorrow if you beat the Bears, even, you know, whether it's Jaden or Marcus Mariota, but it certainly changes, period, if you beat the Bears, even though the game's at home.
The math makes my head hurt. I guess let them play the games and we'll see how it goes. Chris, I appreciate your time. Thanks for taking time out, and enjoy the game tomorrow.
You got it. Have a good weekend. Thanks for having me.
Chris Russell, midday host on the Team 980, Odyssey's affiliate out in D.C., and that's the view from D.C. That's how they're looking at the game, and he seems to lean towards Jaden Daniels is going to start. Don't know if he's going to finish. Take a break when we come back. Olin Kreutz laid it on you, laid on the football knowledge. We'll bring that to you after this. It's Saturday. Suckage. Groovy and bitching all at the same time. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. If nobody important listened, I'll be back next week. For now, Olin Kreutz will take you home, Bears Commanders. Here's Olin Kreutz, the wonderful pairing, Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes.
Great to have Olin on. As per usual, our segment with O is brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. Oh, we got a lot of little breaking news here with the Bears and wanted to get your opinion on it. Velus Jones has been waived. Kari Blasingame has been released. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Velus Jones, you could see that coming, right? Where was he going to fit in? Where they were they going to use him? And they gave him every chance they could, you know, pretty much to get a job and kickoff returner, running back, wide receiver. You know, I know it was Ryan Poles' first offensive draft pick, so just trying to find a spot for him with that talent that he had, that breakaway speed. You kind of want to find a way to use it. Just never really worked out for him, whether it be dropping punts or, you know, you never know what's going on there at Hallis Hall, but just to have a spot for him. And as far as Blasingame goes, I heard you guys talk about Doug Kramer and using him and moving around using that fullback, and I can see that, but, you know, I always argue you kind of want a fullback on your roster. They didn't see the value in having him, and they weren't going to – didn't see where they would suit him up during the year and give him a jersey, so – they moved on from him and maybe gave him a chance to go play somewhere else.
Do you think Doug Kramer, you know, will get a roster spot, get an active game day roster spot when Ryan Bates is back, you know, because of the fullback utility? That'll be an interesting one to figure out.
It will. I would imagine that if Bates and Borum are back, that Doug Kramer goes back to practice squad. But we'll see. We'll see how that all goes. You know, you usually suit five of your linemen and then, you know, it's just sometimes eight, but usually one guy who's a swing tackle and one guy who's interior sub there. And then your long snapper or somebody else is coming in for emergency. I remember Pat Manley was kind of an emergency guy for us for a long time. So we'll see how that goes. I would imagine, Speed, the answer is no, but we'll see.
So you've been really good at pointing out all the times through the years when Poles and Cunningham have not prioritized offensive linemen. When Velus Jones goes off the board at 71, next pick is Abraham Lucas, who is a starting tackle for Seattle, right? Olin, you've pointed that out. And there's so many times that they could have added the offensive line and haven't. There's a lot of people around the league who still think this offensive line is currently constructed is going to come back to bite the Bears at some point later on in the year when the games get tougher, the division games especially. Do you have any of that concern for you?
Of course. I think when you watch this team play and you've watched them play on the road and you've watched them with silent count, you're concerned with their pass protection, right? And this is going to be the toughest front they face in 3 weeks, right? I mean, three games. So, you know, the Rams, you know, the Panthers and the Jaguars, now you'll face the Commanders on the road. I was just watching some film and one play because of the silent count, the Panthers right tackle got pretty beat pretty bad by by Luvu. I think was the guy number four, Frankie Luvu for the Washington Commanders. So that's going to be a problem. On the road is always a problem with the crowd noise, the silent count, the tackles getting a jump on the cadence, and it's something that the Chicago Bears offensive line has struggled with. We talked about when they were in London, they went away. They started with the silent count. That was the first two drives when they gave up two sacks, and then they went away from it because they realized that the crowd was pro-Bears, so they could go with their own snap count. So we will see, as you know, Speaks, going into on the road, silent count, your pass protection is always a worry. This offensive line been playing better of late. Adjustments in the game plan, getting the ball going downhill, running the ball a little bit more. But we will see as they face better competition this week. It starts with this week against the Washington Commanders. This will be the best defensive front that they face in a while.
Oh, I know that you guys were prepared for pretty much everything that you had to face when it came to an opponent. How difficult was it to ignore what might be on the injury report for the other team?
Yeah, we can't. You see what I mean? I heard you guys talking to Weider earlier, and then I was just kind of laughing to myself because you can say, right, like, oh, he's not going to play, and they're just playing games. Well, we can't do that. What if the guy does play? So that there is gamesmanship to that, and you do have to prepare for him. You do have to watch film if he is out there. Well, he practiced today, and you're like, oh, man, I mean, what if he does show up? I better study this guy. They're taking my time. You see what I'm saying, Lawrence? Mm-hmm. If they tell me on Tuesday or on Wednesday, he's out. They made my job a lot easier. They just made it a lot easier. And look, I'm like you. Now I'm in the media world and you guys, and I'm like, yeah, he's out. Come on. But when you're in that building, you can't do that. You can't take that chance, right? You can't take that chance. I'm not going to study Daniels. And next thing you know, he's warming up and he's playing in the game. So you better be studying that guy in case he does play. Because we've all seen it where everyone says the guy's not playing. All of a sudden, he is playing. So there is gamesmanship to it. They are taking hours in my day. I do assume he's not going to play, but I don't have that advantage to just say, if you don't tell me 100%, Olin, 100% Darren Payne is out. If you tell me there's a sliver that Darren Payne, the all-pro D-tackle, is going to play, my butt better be studying that guy for hours.
I like this image of you listening to the radio and just shaking your head and laughing, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. It seems like a waste of time. I'm like, guys, come on.
Yeah, I like that image of you laughing at us and Weiderer, or just us, or just me. And I want you to know, bring it. Like, if you got a list of stuff that we have said that you think is just absolutely freaking idiotic, we want to know. We got to get smarter, man.
No. Listen, I do a ton of radio now, so I say a lot of idiotic stuff myself. So we're all in the same boat. When you got a few hours of a radio show, well, you never know what you're going to say.
Well, we'll bring you a list. We'll bring Olin a list.
I covered a game that Olin played in where the guy was 100% out and he started. That was the Brett Favre game. He was out. He was not doubtful. He was not questionable. He was out. It got me on Roger Goodell's list because I kept asking him. Well, Goodell was there, and he did a press conference before you guys' game. And I was on the treadmill before the game with a member of the front office. And we both kind of got the news at the same time. And that person jumped off the treadmill and was like, can you believe this BS? So I brought it to Goodell. Like, you can't have a guy on the injury report that's out and then he starts the game. And I got brought to the principal's office after the press conference. Oh,
well, hey, listen, you asked that question and you're right. But like we're saying, you never know, man. And Daniels, I don't know if you guys saw when he went out last week on the sideline, he flung his helmet. He slammed it. This kid wants to play football now, no matter what anybody is saying, what's best for you, what's not best for you. He wants to be on the field because, as you guys know, the biggest way to earn respect in the NFL is to play a little banged up, right? He wants to be the leader of this football team. This offense is rolling right now. They have a lot of weapons. It looks like a fun offense to play in. I'm sure he does not like being out.
What does it do to an offensive line? Like, if you're the Washington offensive line and you know you've got Jaden, or to a lesser extent Mariota, who can run too, when you know you've got a quarterback who can run, does it change anything for you for better or for worse? What is the mindset shift, if any?
Yeah, Marcus Mariota, St. Louis High School, Honolulu, Hawaii, right? Just wanted to mention that. But as far as there is quarterbacks, the quarterbacks who run speaks, you're plus one. Right, you're plus one on the defense now. Now they have to account for your quarterback, and it gives you a lot of advantages in the run game, in your angles. We talk a lot on this show about how the run game is math, right? It's just math. Do you have more guys to block? Do you have the number of guys that can block the defenders who are playing the run? When the people tell you, well, they run a college scheme, that's all they're saying. The quarterback is part of the run game. That's all they're saying to you. The quarterback is a threat in the run game. He is part of the run design. So we send a running back one way, and a quarterback can go the other way. And now the defense on the the running back's going right, the defense on the left, they have to play the quarterback. Hmm. They can't just crash down on the running back, which helps the offensive line tremendously, right? I line up And they tell me, Olin, don't worry about the end. Don't worry about the linebacker on the left side of the field. Just block the right side of the field. The quarterback will take care of that. So it really, really helps you out. Now, the risk in the NFL, like you guys know, is can the quarterback last the whole year playing that kind of style of offense? And it's been proven time and time again that there's maybe one guy who makes it all the way, and it's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he's amazing. He makes sure he doesn't get hit. And Jaden has seemed really good at that as well. All right, so if that's the advantage for the offensive line, what does the defense have to do? And like, what does the Bears' defense need to be thinking about to deal with a quarterback that can run like that?
I think you guys remember Lovie talking a lot about when the quarterback's starting to run the ball, that their defense was built for that because they played a zone defense. And what is a zone defense? So it puts all eyes on the quarterback, right? All eyes are looking in the backfield. Their eyes are back there anyway. You've got to be really, really disciplined in your responsibilities. If you have the quarterback, you can't go for what they call the cheese, right? Where the running back's running inside and not a tight end. It looks like he's coming at you to block. He slips outside. They call it a bluff block. He slips outside of you. Now he's blocking the cornerback. First play of the game last week against the Panthers, Jaden Daniels went for like 40 yards on a play just like that, right? The Panthers DN took the cheese. He went inside. And now the guy like Jaden Daniels, who, man, on that run, I don't know what his 40 was at the combine, but that guy is fast, man. So that is what it does to you. You have to be really disciplined. Your eyes are in the backfield. You got to play the quarterback. That's the biggest thing about these college offense, these college concepts, is now the defense has to play the quarterback as a run threat. And you can imagine what kind of play action passes come off of that, what kind of quick RPOs, run pass option come off of that. It's like a spread out triple option. And that's what they're running against you. And it's tough to play against. But, you know, and the thing that you worry about is, you know, obviously two very good defenders being out. Kyler Gordon on the edge there, good tackler, good blitzer. Mm-hmm. Brisker would be a guy you would want in a game where the running quarterback is running the ball, right? He's a safety. He's your extra guy. He matches up against the quarterback. Now the guys who are coming in to replace him really have to step up, because this kind of defense, they spread you out. They leave you one-on-one. And if you miss that tackle, guys, it's a big play.
What kind of coach is Dan Quinn?
Yeah, you know, on when I'm just watching his team play, it looks like they're playing hard for him. He's got guys like Bobby Wagner, right? That name, I couldn't believe that I saw him back there. I don't know what he's in, like his 55th year or something like that. But he's got guys like that installing his scheme, teaching him what his culture wants to be. But I honestly, Lawrence, I would only know from the outside looking in. It looks like his teams do buy into him. It looks like his defenses buy into him. Now, they have a lot of holes in that defense. I'm sure they're going to build it up as these years go on, but I couldn't really answer that question for you. I know they do have former Chicago Bear Bobby Engram on their staff coaching wide receivers there, but I don't really know what kind of coach he is. I know he's a good football coach, that's good with the defenses, but if I told you I knew what kind of culture and what he was trying to build his football team, I'd be lying to you.
I talked to somebody who knows him real well this week, Olin, who says that he's like a great communicator, a heart-to-heart communicator, and that he's especially good at getting guys to check their ego, like connects to them and like really gets them to not be selfish and kind of lets the coordinators do the coaching. So that, I mean, that all sounded good to me. It sounded right. Sounded really, really juicy to me. Did you, mm-hmm. I mean, does a head coach need to be that guy who gets people to check their egos, or can that be a coordinator or even a position coach?
Yeah, the hardest thing to do in the NFL is to get everybody to believe that the team is the star, right? That we're all moving in the same direction. We talk about this a lot with the Chicago Bears, with the wide receivers, that we talk about, okay, is Moore going to get the ball? When's Allen going to get the ball? Dunze is going to get the ball? Can we convince them that all their time is going to come? Check your ego at the door. We're just going to do what it takes to win this football game. So, yeah, it's the most important quality to have as a leader in an NFL building, and you have to have more than one leader, more than one guy teaching that concept in your building, making everybody move in the right direction. But it sounds to me like you talk to a guy who Dan Quinn gives a job to.
What things about the Bears offense do you think can carry over from the last 3 weeks? And what things are you concerned about going into the game?
I think, you know, I mentioned what my concern is, right, is the pass protection against this front. Who, you know, they have Johnny Newton from University of Illinois, who's playing Oregon this week, big game. They have Payne. They just have a better front Lawrence and the Bears have seen in a while, and the Bears are on the road again. So, of course, I'm worried about that. Now, what can carry over is, you know, their three wide receiver set, Cole Kmet, Swift, and getting those guys the ball in space, spreading the defense out, and getting the ball out quickly. And that's what Caleb's been doing, right? I think we talked about how Sanchez went over that. He's getting the ball out in under 3 seconds. So those are the kind of things that can carry over.
I know that you hate talking about yourself. You're Mr. Team Guy, like your whole career. That's been you. But there's a couple of cool things have happened for you. And before you globalize it, before you start talking about everyone else, I want you to spend a couple minutes talking about yourself here. What did it feel like to be inducted into the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame? And what does it mean to you to be on the list of finalists for Canton?
Well, it's incredibly humbling, obviously. You know how I feel about football. You know how I feel about sports in general, right? I feel, and in Chicagoland and just being a kid from Hawaii, I've been here a long time now, since 1998. You guys know the story of my kids. They're all playing sports in Chicago. My wife just ran a marathon. We're really big into the sports scene here. So to go into something like that, have Mike Singletary speaking, have the astronomer, Christian Okoye was in the room. You guys remember Christian Okoye.
Of course.
Right? Tony Kukoc was in the room. There was just a lot of people in that room. Duncan Keith was in there. Just guys that you've heard about. And then, you know, I can't remember his name right now, excuse me, but Blackhawks old trainer. And he started at St. Rita. And then he went to the Blackhawks. And he just kind of, his whole life was in Chicago. Just really a great event that they run there, the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame. A lot of good things going on in the Chicago sports scene, obviously. And you know how much everyone here loves their sport. So really a fun night. Really honored to be there and receive that honor. So I guess you're just humbled to be there. I'll tell you what the big thing, guys, about events like that is, I'm sure in your guys' life, you have a lot of people to thank that you'd like to thank, right? And you thank them when you see them. Whenever I get a chance like that, and I've been lucky enough, blessed enough to be in a few Hall of Fames. So whenever I get a chance to stand on stage, I get to thank everybody who got me there. So that is really what those nights are about. And a lot of people don't get to do that. And I always say how lucky I am when I get to stand on stage and put the spotlight on people who helps you get to where you are.
That's awesome. Yeah, Mike Gapsky is the Blackhawks trainer that you're talking about.
Yes, he was awesome.
Mike Vec, the son of Bill Vec, and the guy
he was crazy.
I bet he was crazy, right?
He was awesome, man. He was awesome.
He's funny as hell. He should be the next White Sox owner. Somehow, some way, they got to get Mike Vec to own that team. And Singletary, well, you deserve it in full, Olin. That's really awesome. You mentioned the Illini at Oregon. What a great day against Michigan, man. I mean, what was that like, by the way? I mean, first of all, and do they have a shot to hang with Oregon tomorrow?
They do. It's funny you ask that, because at first, as the week started, I was like, man, at number one, Oregon, right? And Oregon is, they have a running back, and Dylan Gabriel, another Hawaii kid, another Hawaii product, is their quarterback. He gets the ball out incredibly fast. Oregon is what you think they are, guys. They get the ball in people's hands and they score touchdowns, man. Their receivers and running backs are fun to watch. But I think Illinois, on the offensive and defensive lines, if they can find advantages and start to slowly take over the game, you never know what could happen out there. Now, obviously, they will need a few takeaways. They will need a few bounces to go their way. And Oregon is what everyone says they are. They're a very, very good football team. Dylan Gabriel, I think I told my sons to call him uncle when they get there, since he's about 35 years old playing quarterback for Oregon. But they are a good football team, man, and it's going to be a fun game to watch. And look, the Fighting Illini are now 6-1, and they're headed to play the number one team in the nation. So they get to find out what they are, right? They get to find out, and they've been now. They played Nebraska. They played at Penn State. They have a game plan for going on the road in tough environments and trying to win football games. So excited for them to get to that game and see what they're all about. And that's what you want to do when you play sports. You want to play against the best teams in the world.
I was saying to Speaks earlier this week, like, how great it is that you look up and you're paying attention to what's going on in the Big Ten. And there's Illinois and there's Indiana. You know, two teams that people might not have thought going into the season. They both have their playoff opportunity right in front of them. And to be this deep into a season it's so great to have that and know you control your destiny, that you have the opportunity to make those dreams come true.
I tell you what, Lawrence, man, I sit in the horseshoe, right? I sit in the end zone. I love seeing the end zone. I get to see. For me, I'm an end zone camera guy. I'm an offensive lineman. I got to see the game from that seat. But I see in the end zone, it's all Bears fans. obviously, University of Illinois is all Bears fans. So it's a fun event. And this team, like you're talking about, their fans have been winning a long time. As you guys know, they haven't done a lot of winning. Coach Bielema doing a great job turning that program around. Find a way to win in this new atmosphere of portal, NIL, and things that Coach, Josh Whitman, their AD, doing a nice job out there trying to get that program moving in the right direction. Like Chicago Bears fans, they've been waiting a long time to get some wins, to enjoy a season like they're doing, to beat Michigan. Now Michigan, they got quarterback problems and they may have coaching problems. So we'll see what happens with that program there. But to beat a team like Michigan, to beat a team like Nebraska at Nebraska, to go to Penn State and feel like you hung with Penn State, who is a really, really good football team this year. And now you get a chance to go to Oregon and play the number one team in the nation. This is going to be a fun season. It's a fun game for Illinois fans to be a part of, and it's a fun game for me and my family to watch. You know, obviously my son will be at center. One of my other sons will be playing linebacker special teams. So really, really excited about this football game.
So cool, Olin. I would have been in awe of Christian Okoye too, by the way. And I just I just called up.
Huge, man.
Oh, dude.
He said he was 270 when he played. He played 3 years of football before he got to the NFL. This guy's a monster.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app